It's the Rosie on the House show with Thermal Advantage.
I cannot tell you what a difference in our house since Thermal Advantage put in the foam in March. Now in the middle of the day, I touch the outside wall and my hand doesn't burn. Amazing.
Find out how you can be amazed. Call with your questions about insulation at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Hour number three of Rosie on the House. We thank you for being part of the program. And if you'd like to be a part of it on air, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U, the toll-free anywhere in Arizona number. Now that I'm going to give you another number, it's not toll-free, but you can still dial it from anywhere. 602-277-5827. That's 277-5827.
On the topic of insulation here on the hottest weekend of the year.
And joining us is Dennis Rodenberg of Thermal Advantage. Dennis, what was the first time we had you on air? Was that about 2003? That was about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was a long time ago. I was actually doing a house for you in Arcadia. You guys were remodeling a house. And I had been approved to do work for you, which is quite a process in itself. People don't realize that. And so I was approved, and then your office contacted me and said, since you're approved, we've never had you on the show. Would you like to be on the show and come in? And it was real nice.
Well, it was a new technology. I mean, you really instigated this whole industry.
Well, I did with residential. It had been going on a few years before I was involved with commercial work, like Walmarts that we were just talking about earlier, and big box stores. But I was the first contractor to really make a go of advertising and pursuing and making a go of retrofitting existing block houses. Because when I started, all of the work that was being done was commercial work and schools and so forth. But in the valley here, throughout Arizona, really, there's a pretty big market for just block homes.
Uninsulated masonry homes, yeah. Built all in the 50s, 60s, and it really into the 70s.
Yes.
So if you're in one of those homes and you're having trouble keeping your home comfortable, you need to know about my friend here, Dennis Rodenberg of Thermal Advantage. That's what he specializes in doing. And Dennis, the reason we're comfortable bringing you on and not turning this whole 2 hours into an infomercial is because you believe the same way I do. You have to look at the whole house. You can't just look at one thing to fix whatever it is that has to do with discomfort.
Yeah, your house doesn't really know where the energy is coming or going. It's just leaking BTU somewhere. So it is prudent for the person to figure out where the energy is leaking out of the home. It could be ductwork, it could be windows, it could be ceiling, it could be walls. But then what you want to do is, like you said earlier, Rosie, is see where can you spend the least amount of money and get the biggest return and the biggest improvement on the house. That's really key to energy management.
And the whole house energy audit is the place to start. And again, not all home energy audit companies are created equal. Take a look at rosieonthehouse.com for where you live in the great state of Arizona and pull out a Rosie certified contractor. Like Dennis says, we're pretty proud of how tough it is to get Rosie certified. Anybody with that Rosie certification will hang our hat on. Let's talk about a problem that we get a lot of calls for, and it is that floor plan that has a two-story elevation, and you have the garage door generally facing forward, street elevation, with one or two bedrooms perched in above that garage. A very, very typical floor plan, a very problematic floor plan. We get calls all the time. Those rooms are never comfortable.
Well, I found out about it because I bought one. When I moved here, I lived in Ahwatukee, and it was a nice-looking home. But I couldn't keep my kids' bedrooms cool. And I figured out that the bedroom floor, which is over the garage, is barely insulated, and what was there wasn't done very well. And so from that, I started putting together a plan, and now we're fairly regularly addressing some of these homes in the valley where we go in and we foam the walls. We drill and foam the drywalled walls. And we're retrofitting our foam on that. And then we prep the ceiling for fiberglass to be installed.
The garage ceiling. The bedroom floor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we address that. And we prep that for a team of fiberglass installers. And they pretty much load that up with fiberglass. And then we restore the ceiling to its original look. And what that's doing is it's keeping that hot air that's generated in the garage, and you really have an attic space above that garage that's not ventilated.
That's right.
So there's pressure in there that builds up from the heat. It gets very, very hot. But it just naturally will flow into the bedroom floors and lower walls of those bedrooms that are above the garage, and it's a problem.
It goes back to Neil's question calling about the cabin up in Mountain Air last hour, insulating the floor of the cabin, insulating the floor of these bedrooms. The insulation was there, but it was installed wrong.
And very minimal standards also. So there's a lot of homes that could use an improvement if they're having that syndrome.
I think the first time we got a call on this particular situation has to be about, maybe it was about the time you joined the Rosie Network. It was 10, 15 years ago. And we crawled up into that crawl space and saw all the insulation laying down on the garage ceiling.
What
and
happened?
None of it was up against the floor of the bedroom where it needed to be. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, what happens is that the installer goes out and his work order says to insulate the garage ceiling, and it should be the floor of the bedroom. And then the rim joist area, if they do it as you described, the rim joist area above the garage is not addressed at all.
Yeah.
So all of that heat that comes in from the sidewalls, from the attic area in the garage, immediately goes into the floor of those bedrooms, and it's a problem.
It's a big problem. You were talking about a job you did just a couple of weeks ago where the homeowner could actually feel the floor getting hotter as he walked up his stairs.
Yeah, his stairwell was adjacent to all of this area, and before he even got up to the top of the bedroom, he could actually feel the heat coming in on him. So we addressed that and we fixed it.
Let's talk insulation. Let's talk comfort level at your home. Let's talk about saving money on your electric bill while maintaining and increasing the comfort at your house.
Rebecca in Fountain Hills.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I know I'm off topic, but I need to get an answer here from somebody that has some experience. I'm needing to replace our pressure regulator for the main water system on the house. It started when we were working on the irrigation system and checking everything, double checking. We realized that it drops about 10 points when you put the regulator on it. Is that a pressure gauge? Is that necessarily a sign that the pressure regulator should be replaced?
Does it drop and then restore itself back?
No, it drops and I put it on the outside spigot, and then I went in the kitchen and turned on the water. And as long as that faucet is running, it stays constant at the pressure of 10, about 10 less.
That's fine. That's exactly how it should be operating. You're fine.
So, in other words, the pressure regulator is not, people are telling me that it should maintain that constant 60 pounds of PSI while the faucet in the kitchen is running.
You know, I'm not sure about that. What you really want is make sure it doesn't exceed 60 pounds when you're got everything turned off and that 60 PSI is pressing up against all those washers and the cartridges is your biggest dilemma. But when you open that valve, it's necessarily going to reduce the pressure rating on it unless you've got
a booster pump on a private well or something.
Unless you've got some kind of a pressure tank downline from the system. I will check with my plumbers, but I can't think in my mind how it could stay at 60 once you open a valve.
They would have to have from the wherever you're getting your water, that pressure would have to be so tight in those pipes.
Yeah.
To keep that demand, because you got faucets going on for that one water source all over the place and on and off and on and off. So it's going to,
I'll double check with my trusted plumbers and just verify, but my mind tells me you're just fine. I'll get back in touch with you at the beginning of the week, I promise.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to go to Daryl next. Welcome, sir. How may we help you?
Yes, my problem is our builder that built our house, we have floor tile in our house and it has the grout. They told us not to seal that grout, and we're wondering, should we seal it or not?
I would seal every square inch of grout that I have in my house.
Have you moved in?
Yeah.
How long have y'all been in?
Well, we've been here for 8 years, and we're looking at our grout now, and it looks like it should be cleaned, and we're wondering also, do you have somebody that can come in and clean it.
Yeah, for sure. And I would tell you that once they have it cleaned, you ought to consider having it color sealed. It'll actually make that grout look better than the day it was installed. And those color sealants are actually some of the best you can get. So, yeah, definitely.
And just to clear it up, you should the builder should have waited 2 weeks after they put the tile in to let the grout hydrate. And then sealed it. And in that two-week time, absolutely no walking on it. And that's very hard to do for a builder because that's one of the last things to get the house done. They want to get it done. They want to get the paper signed. They want to get paid. Stopping for 2 weeks' progress to keep everyone off the tile is just very scary for a lot of builders. But ideally, or if you are having a tile installed or you're replacing something else, if you can stay off it for 2 weeks and then seal it, that is absolutely ideal for the tile.
Yeah, we like to tell people to just tape some Saran wrap over the tile, about 2 square feet, and when the condensation quits forming on the underside of the Saran wrap, that's when your grout's cured enough for sealing.
Ah, tricks of the trade. Hey, Phoenix Carpet Repair Cleaning is a great company to get that job done. Their phone number is 602-688-4186.
All right, let's see if we can get to at least Evie's question in Tucson. At least we'll get the question fielded. We may have to answer it on the back side of the break. Evie, good morning.
Hi. We have a home that they had glazed all of the overhang, which faces north and east, and we would love to use that. There's half-inch thermal pane on it, but all that does is just you can't even touch the trim or even the window, actually, in the morning. On the east side. The north side doesn't seem to be as problematic. But there are two portable Sanyo air conditioning heater units, one at each end of this L-shaped area, if you will. But we don't want to heat and air condition the entire Tucson area, if you will. There are also, I would say, a half a dozen ceiling fans, and of course there's nothing in the ceiling, it's just the 2x4s and whatever the heck that wood paneling business is that they have.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop you right there. We could do a lot of things at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock. We'll come back and wrap up with Evie, and we have a room for you at 888-767-4348 or 602-277-5827.